Southern Oregon Climate Action Now will host its general meeting on May 27th at the Medford Public Library from 6 to 7 p.m. The featured speaker is Max Light Pacheco from the Oregon Environmental Council. Max will preview OEC's effort to stimulate electrification and energy efficiency in Medford. You can add your thoughts via email at jx@jeffnet.org. Joining me on the exchange to tell us more is Max Light Pacheco. Welcome.
Hi, Mike. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, hey, Max, before we get into the details of this electrification project in Medford, tell me about the work that you do at the Oregon Environmental Council.
Yes. So I am the Community Engagement Manager with Oregon Environmental Council. And Oregon Environmental Council, also known as OEC, focuses on four key areas: climate, environmental health, water, and transportation. As you might hear from a lot of community engagement managers, you tend to be a jack of all trades. But what you're really doing is helping work as a liaison between the organization and the community to make sure that their voices are being heard around concerns about our key areas, and making sure that we're working collaboratively. So
what does the organization what does the organization do on a daily basis?
So at our heart, we are an environmental advocacy organization, and we focus on the state level to address concerns around water, environmental health, transportation, and climate. So we're working at the state level with legislators to create laws that best serve Oregonians and protect our environment.
Okay, so you lobby for green energy.
That's one of the things that we do, yes.
So tell me about green energy. What is it?
Yeah, so green energy, or oftentimes referred to as clean energy, encompasses several different ways of harnessing energy that's based on renewables. So moving away from using fossil fuels and going to hydro, using wind energy, and using solar energy. Some people will lump nuclear energy within that space. Oregon Environmental Council has not done that. Our state does not have nuclear energy and is unlikely to do so, and is not something that we necessarily support because some of the safety concerns.
So what percentage of energy resources in Oregon come from fossil fuels currently?
It depends on what portion of the state you're in. About 60% of our energy comes from renewable resources at the moment. So that other 40% is primarily from fossil fuels. And that's primarily oil and gas. Coal production is banned in the state, however, our electric grid is connected to other states that do use coal.
So you said it depends on where you live in a state. We're in Southern Oregon. So what percentage of our energy comes from fossil fuel?
I would say that it's a little bit more than some other parts of the state. So I'd say maybe about 5 to 10% more is coming from fossil fuels in Southern Oregon area.
So how reliable is renewable energy?
Renewable energy is very reliable. It's important that it's properly stored. So say you have solar, you need to make sure that you have proper storage for that form of energy when there's changes in terms of cloud cover. But, you know, we've been using hydroelectricity in the state for at least 40 years, and it's been a very reliable form of energy. And unfortunately, as we're seeing with oil and gas, as the prices continue to fluctuate and geopolitics impact how much that costs and access, renewables are becoming a more sustainable but also a more reliable form of energy.
So is hydro the biggest part of that renewable energy that we use?
Currently, hydro is a critical element of our energy in the state. However, we're seeing incredible growth within the solar and the wind energy in the state.
So who do we get our energy from? Who are the players out there?
So in Southern Oregon, the biggest player is Pacific Power. And so when it comes to the way our utilities work is they are what is referred to as a regulated monopoly. So they're allowed to have monopoly power in exchange for having some government regulation to make sure that ratepayers, so us the customers, are given fair rates and that we are able to, in an ideal world, be able to pay a reasonable amount for electricity, because it's really critical for human health to have access to electricity at this point. Climate change is having very major impacts to the climate of this state, and being able to have access to cooling and heating is becoming more and more essential for all Oregonians.
So how open is Pacific Power to transitioning from fossil to renewable?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think they'll say one thing. My thought is that we really need to see a greater effort on the hand of all of our utilities to be making the switch. And that really means having them look at their policies and ensure that they're actually taking efforts that are intentional to grow out the diversity of types of electricity they're collecting and using, and take actionable steps to move away from fossil fuels. And we also in the state really need to be working on transmission lines. That's a big part of what's holding back a lot of efforts towards renewables. There was a really incredible piece that was put together by ProPublica and OPB that is talking about how Oregon and Washington have been held back on moving forward with renewable energy because we haven't built out the transmission lines and strengthened them in order to provide better renewable energy to customers.
My guest is Max Light Pacheco from the Oregon Environmental Council. He's the featured speaker at the SOCAN General Meeting on May 27th at the Medford Public Library from 6 to 7 p.m. So, Max, tell me about the electrification project here in Medford.
Yeah. So, Oregon Environmental Council recently released our new E-Forward campaign. E-Forward is an electrification education program that supports all Oregonians in being able to determine what is the best way they can electrify, which is the process of converting their systems and their devices to use electric sources of energy rather than non-electric, so moving away from fossil fuels, and to weatherize their homes, which is the process of protecting your home from the outside elements. Oftentimes, people associate that with insulation, but it also includes things like air sealing and installing energy-efficient windows. So in Southern Oregon, a huge part of our focus is to educate the audience around available incentives and rebates that there are to make it affordable to make the switch. Now more than ever, we've seen greater access and it becoming significantly more affordable to make the switch to using less energy by using devices like heat pumps, smart thermostats, heat pump water heaters, and electric vehicles.
So Max, I'm a little confused. You got to help me out here. Here in Southern Oregon, you want us to switch to electric devices, which means we'll be more dependent on electricity, which means you'll have more of a burden to provide us with electricity, which you just told me the grid can't handle. I'm confused.
Right. So this is a both-and situation for both our climate as well as for consumers. The reality is these devices, they use less electricity than you'd be using fossil fuels. We also need to be making the switch away from fossil fuels in order to address climate, as well as consider the future costs of climate. Climate change has pretty dramatic impacts in terms of cost for the state of Oregon, and that's only growing. We're seeing the impacts already in our budget discussions about the amount of costs we're having to put from our state budget into preventative measures to protect Oregonians. So it's one of those both and situations where we need to be working on our grid, but also we need to be moving towards electrification.
So you told me that Pacific Power is the main player here in Southern Oregon, and you're urging them to transition away from fossil fuels. What's the timeline if they were operating or moving at the quickest pace that they could to transition away from fossil fuels? What's the timeline you estimate that would take?
Well, in the state, we're supposed to be moving towards net zero within, you know, the next 5 years. Is that realistic? I think that there's a definite possibility that we can pull that off. I think that it's going to require some major changes, though, in terms of structure for the power companies. And it's really going to include them coming to the table and working with our government to ensure we're doing what's best for all Oregonians.
Okay, so now you've introduced a couple of different things. So one is the transition away from fossil fuels, which means they're going to need other infrastructure. And then there's the grid, which obviously is insufficient. And so what are the costs that are involved in both of those happening, improving the grid capacity and transitioning away from fossil fuels?
Well, I think the one key thing to highlight is the cost for not transitioning away from fossil fuels right now.
Okay.
Is a huge part of it. We're seeing the prices of oil and gas fluctuate pretty significantly, and that will continue to happen. The cost when it comes to the specific devices, if you're looking at for an individual homeowner, it is more affordable that if people are ready to make the switch right now, that it is more affordable oftentimes to go the route of a heat pump if they use all the incentives and rebates available for them. That does impact, you know, depend on the specific individual and their household and the specific
usage. Okay, Max, let me make sure I'm clear. Your campaign is more focused on the individual versus the industry and institutions.
Correct.
I got it. Okay, so you want individuals to switch, but the industry isn't going to be able to handle that switch, is it?
Oh, it will be able to handle the switch. It's going to require them, though, to make the steps to match where the rest of Oregon is.
So how has AI contributed to the problem of energy consumption?
AI is a big part of the reason why our energy bills have spiked over the past 4 years, because we're seeing increased usage of energy for AI, we're seeing our bills rise. Data centers are taking up a significant and growing amount of our electricity in order to maintain their daily operations. And it's really important that on the state level, we're really focusing on creating better mechanisms to ensure that data centers are paying their fair share.
Okay, your campaign was funded by a grant from Wells Fargo. Why?
Correct.
What's Wells Fargo's interest in this?
So we've connected with Wells Fargo as well as several other different entities throughout the state to help fund this project. Wells Fargo's specific interest in this was really wanting to make sure they were giving back to the Southern Oregon community. Our focus in this program was really making sure that we were able to use all the resources available to us in order to best provide educational resources to those in Southern Oregon about making the switch and electrifying their homes.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you, Max.
Thank you.